Welcome to installment 150 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments. Positive commandment 22 and prohibition number 67 relating to the guard of the temple and the temple mount. And three commandments relating to the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. Positive commandment 35, to make such an oil, to have it available. Prohibition number 83. A prohibition not to make this oil for personal use, and prohibition 84, not to anoint someone unworthy with this oil. The Rambam relates that this commandment was given to Aaron HaKohen in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 2, where he was told, "Va'ato v'nech itoch, you and your descendants together, lifna oil ho'edus, should guard in front of the tent of testimony." And it was repeated, said the Rambam, in verse 4, where he was told, "Veshamru es mishmeres oyel meid," you should guard the tent of meeting. How was this guarding actually done? The Rambam states that they would guard and they would circulate, they would patrol the grounds of the temple the entire nighttime. And this guarding was not done in order to keep out thieves, or even to keep out impure people or impure objects. It was done, the Rambam says, l'chavdei, to honor and give glory to the temple, and to elevate it and display its holiness. As the Mechilta says, that there is a big difference between a palace which has guards patrolling it, and a palace which is without guards. Since the Beis HaMikdash is the most holy palace, it should certainly have guards indicating its elevated status. Commentaries ask that if this guarding was not for the purposes of protection, but rather for honor and kavod, why was it only during the night? Many of the commentaries explain that during the day, honor is already given to the Beis HaMikdash. Since the temple is used during the day for the holy service, the avoda, and there are kohanim constantly doing their service in the temple, this will actually give and display the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. In addition, it has been explained by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita that this is an idea of Hesach HaDas, in order to indicate that our minds are constantly on the Beis HaMikdash, and that we never forget it. We are constantly concentrating on it. Therefore, we must have a constant presence there, both during the day and at night. This also explains why they had to not merely remain in one place, but patrol the entire ground. As the Mishnah says, that the one in charge of the Temple Mount would circulate and call out to the Kohanim and Levim, who were serving as guards, and see if they would answer. Should they not answer, he would know that they are sleeping. And the Mishnah says that he has permission to beat them with a stick, and even set their clothing ablaze. It is said that occasionally there would be heard the sound of screaming from the temple grounds, and people would ask, "What is the sound of the screaming?" And they would say that this is someone from the tribe of Levi, either a Kohen or a Levi, who is screaming because his clothes have been set afire because he was asleep at his watch. We therefore see that this circulating patrol helped achieve a constant presence and a constant awareness of the temple grounds and its holiness. The Rambam quotes the Sifri, which states that the Kohanim and Levim both served as guards in the temple. As it is expressed in detail in the Rambam's legal code, that there were actually 3 Kohanim and 21 Levim. The Kohanim would guard inside, and the Levim would guard on the outside. This commandment is discussed, says the Rambam, in the first chapter of the tractate Tamid, as well as in the tractate Midos. The Rambam also brings down the Mechilta, which the Mechilta explains how we know that both this commandment and the negative commandment associated with it are actually counted in the 613. The Mechilta asks, how we know that it is a positive commandment to guard the temple grounds. Where do we know the prohibition from? And the Mechilta quotes verse 5 from the same chapter, "Ushmartem eis mishmeres hakedesh," that you should guard and and watch over the holy things, the sanctuary. Therefore, we see that since an expression, ushmartem, to guard or be careful, is used, this indicates a prohibition. Since this mechilta mentions both the positive and negative, we learn out both the positive commandment, number 22, as well as the prohibition, 67, the prohibition against ignoring the guarding of the temple grounds. Positive commandment, number 35, is to make an anointing oil, shemen hamishcha, in order that it should be on hand for its various uses. As the Rambam quotes the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse 10, Va'akein agadol me'echav, the Kohen Gadol, who has been elevated above his other priests, his brothers the priests, Asher yutzak al reishei shemen hamishcha, must have anointing oil poured on his head. There therefore must be this anointing oil on hand to anoint the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. In his legal code, the Rambam mentions a verse which explicitly commands us to make this anointing oil. In the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 25, Vasisa eisei shemen mishchas kedesh, that you should make a sacred anointing oil. This oil was not only used to anoint the high priest. The Rambam tells us that some kings, Jewish kings, were also anointed with this oil. He explains in his legal code, these are the kings who stem from David, from David HaMelech. Other kings, not from the house of David, were not anointed with this special oil. Aside from the high priest and the king, there was a third use for this anointing oil, to anoint the Mishkan, the Kelov, the tabernacle which was used in the 40 years in the desert, and all of the vessels which were used in its service. They first had to be anointed before they could be used. This, however, the Rambam explains, applies only to the tabernacle itself, and not for the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary of later generations. This is because those vessels were forever sanctified through this, that the vessels in the tabernacle were sanctified. The original sanctification affected all subsequent vessels which would be used for all generations. The Rambam brings this from the Sifri, which quotes the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 31, which states, Shemen Mishchas Kedesh, a sacred oil of anointing, this shall be for me for all your generations, indicating that this will last for all generations to sanctify all subsequent vessels. The Gemara in Krisus, where all of these commandments of the anointing oil are discussed, states that a miracle was associated with this anointing oil. As this verse states, Ze li l'dereseichem, that this will be for me for all your generations. And the Talmud says that this, Ze, has a numerical value of 12, which indicates the 12 luk, a measurement slightly over a gallon, which was the amount of anointing oil which was made by Moses in the desert. After anointing all of the Mishkan, all of the tabernacle and all of its vessels, and the Kohen Gadol throughout the generations, and the kings throughout the generations, this amount of oil remained in its original amount. It still remained for all generations and will actually come back and be revealed in the Messianic age and be used once again. Therefore, the Zeh, this, refers to the original 12 lug, which are still in existence. The anointing oil was made in the following way, as the Rambam describes in his legal code. The four spices which the Torah indicates must be used were all ground up very finely, and then were soaked in pure and sweet water. After the spices had released their scent and their fragrance into the water, this was mixed together with olive oil. The water and olive oil were mixed together, and then the oil was boiled off until only the scent, which has now penetrated the remaining olive oil, has remained. This oil was made in an amount, as we mentioned, leaving 12 lug of oil. And after Moses made this the first time in the desert, it was never again made thereafter. There are also two prohibitions associated with this anointing oil. Prohibition number 83 is a prohibition against unauthorized manufacture of this anointing oil. Prohibition 84 is a prohibition against using this oil to anoint any unauthorized person. They both derive from the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 32, which states, Absar Adam Leisach, one must not pour or anoint any person with this oil, which is prohibition 84. And the verse continues, Uvmaskunte Leisasu Komeyu, one must not duplicate this formula, which is prohibition number 83. The punishment which the Rambam describes in Sefer HaMitzvahs is also given explicitly in the following verse. Ish asher yirkach kamayu, anyone who blends such a formula, which is prohibition 83, asher yitin mimenu alzar, and puts some of this oil on an unauthorized person, v'nichras me'amav, is cut off from his people, is punished by Kores, which, as the Rambam explains, applies only if it was done intentionally. In addition, the person must have made this oil for the sake of using on himself. If he made the oil to anoint someone else, or just to learn the process of making it, he is exempt from punishment. However, should it be intentional, he is punished by Kores. Should it be unintentional, he must bring a chatas kavua, a sin offering. These parameters apply to both prohibitions. Even though a king from the house of David must be anointed, nevertheless, there are times when such a king is not anointed. The Rambam explains in his legal code that when a son has inherited the throne from his father, in that case the oil is not used to anoint him. Under normal circumstances. This is because he has filled the place of his father, and his father was already anointed. However, should there be a disagreement about the inheritance of the throne, in that case, to avoid any further argument, the anointing oil is used to clearly indicate to everyone who the new king is. This was done several times in Jewish history. For example, upon the death of King David, his son Solomon did not need this anointing oil. However, because of the disagreement about who should inherit the throne, King Solomon was, in fact, anointed. The Rakanti explains that this anointing oil elicited tremendous blessings from above, that sparks of holiness would descend, and the person's mazel, their spiritual source, would shower them with many different blessings physically and spiritually. These blessings, however, could only justifiably be brought upon a great person in a special position, such as the high priest, or the priest who was anointed for purposes of war, Meshuach Melchama, or again, a king from the house of David. Any other person was unworthy of such heavenly influence, and therefore we have a prohibition not to anoint anyone who is unauthorized with this anointing oil.
Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments to celebrate a special occasion, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.